3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you. JT producing as usual. Let's go check out some Vanderbilt basketball. Vanderbilt basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse joins us now. Coach Stack, how are you, man? Thank you for the time.
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
We're doing well. How are you and your family doing during these quarantine days?
Man, about eating a little too much, drinking a little too much, all that good stuff.
That's like you've been, everybody right now, yeah, Coach. Trust me.
You've been hanging out at my house, I think.
No doubt, man. But yeah, we're getting a chance to spend a lot of time, man, a lot of missed time that we had going in a lot of different directions. My kids in college, my wife, she's a fitness instructor, so we're always moving around. So we're enjoying this time, actually, you know, getting to spend some time together.
See, I really loved last offseason where you were touring frat houses and just dotting some I's with jump shots and things like that. I miss those days.
No doubt, man. Getting a chance to get at some of the student body a little bit, let them feel some old school stack house. Now, that was fun, man. We missed that this summer, but hopefully we'll get back to it sooner rather than later.
I hope sooner rather than later, Coach. What's your communication been like with your kids, with your players, and how has it all gone down? Is it Zoom? Is it FaceTime? That seems to be what we're all doing nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing a lot of Zoom, man. I guess the favorite slogan is right now is, you know, you're muted. We can't hear you. You know, that's what everybody's saying right now, but we've been able to reach out to them, give them some workouts and different things. But, you know, obviously everything came to an abrupt start right after the, you know, SEC, they called the tournament. But, you know, our focus is really trying to get these kids, you know, to finish up strong, which they did. Our kids finished up with, over 3.5 as a group. So, you know, we were excited about that, even though with all of the everything that's going on, they were still able to lock in and finish up strong academically. So, just not being able to get on the court and kind of continue that momentum we had toward the end of the season is the only disappointing thing.
Yeah, you guys won 2 out of 3 down the stretch. Year one at Vanderbilt, clearly in the rearview. I'm curious, what did you learn about yourself in that first season as a college basketball coach?
Well, I mean, I think I knew myself. I mean, I think I, you know, had to learn the, you know, the league a little bit, understand who we were playing, understand my team, understand our strengths and our weaknesses. Obviously, we came into the season with feeling like what I know and understanding what our strengths were. And then those things changed somewhat when Cleavon went down, and then again when Aaron went down, and we had to kind of reinvent ourselves on the fly. But I thought our guys did a great job, man, continuing to fight and, you know, make the most. I mean, we had 6 scholarship athletes with, you know, your 4 walk-ons, and those walk-ons came on and came to practice every day and improved and helped us. They helped us win those games at the end of the season. So I just think that being able to get a full roster like we'll have this year, just in case, you know, things happen, man. Guys get hurt, but I think we'll be much better equipped to pick up and carry on more so than we did last year.
How good of a pro do you think Aaron Nesmith can be? I saw a latest CBS mock draft had him going 10th overall.
Yeah, I mean, I love Aaron because he can shoot the basketball. Right? He's always going to have, you know, there's always a premium for guys that can shoot the basketball the way that he can shoot it. And I think he'll surprise some people with other things that he can do on the floor because we ran him off of a lot of screens and did a lot of things. We weren't able to showcase some of his playmaking ability and pick and rolls. And I thought he really improved as a defender. So I think there's going to be some pleasant surprise about, you know, what he's able to do at that level. But being able to just shoot that basketball, I think he reminds me of likened to, you know, kind of like a J.J. Redick, a guy that I think could come off screen. At the same time, he could spot up. But I just think he has a little more depth than say, a J.J.
Vanderbilt basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse with us on 3HL. Coach, it was fun watching Scottie Pippen Jr. develop. Average 17 points per game in his last 6. He also shot almost 50% from 3 during that stretch. How important is his continued development for you and your team?
Well, I mean, Scottie was really good for us, man. I mean, I gave him the ball right away. I knew just from day one of his feel of running the team and making sure guys are in the right spot, understanding the offense, understanding what we're doing defensively. He had a great year. He got better and better. The things that we were asking from him defensively, it was tough. You know, Jordan Wright, you know, those guys came in and really had a presence as a young group, and we're excited about them, you know, taking what they, you know, all of those minutes that they had last year and being able to, you know, come into this season, you know, with the experience. So I mean, last year, everybody was new. I always said that it was like I had a team full of freshmen because we had to teach everybody what we wanted to do. But now, you know, this season, you know, those first four guys in line are going to know what we're doing, and that's really going to help our incoming freshmen as they get adjusted to what we do.
Even though it was cut short last year, Coach, what do you think that you learned about yourself as a coach last season as you kind of move into your next year?
Again, I said, I don't know, but I've been myself for the last 45 years, so I kind of know who I am. But I think from the standpoint of this league and understanding the teams, I mean, it was invaluable, the experience that you have going around one time and playing these teams and scouting them and understanding how our stuff works against them offensively and defense. The best thing that we could do is have one game on film. Now we could understand next time we see this team, you know, what they do. What I kind of noticed about college basketball is they don't really change a lot of their schemes or what they do, even with the personnel changing year on and year out. It's not necessarily they try to get people who fit their system. So I think us being able to have a chance to go around and see everybody and feel everybody, and then we, you know, obviously learn what we need. I think having a year under our belt, we have a better understanding of you know, what we need to be successful, the type of recruits that we should target. Because I think that's key. I mean, just we can't just go into a gym again and just say, okay, we love the way that he played. We have to do a lot of our homework because of being able to, the academic standards that we have here, being able to find kids that not only can come in and play at a Power 5 level, but to be able to perform the way he needs to academically. And so it's a little more involved, a little more in-depth for us, but we welcome that challenge. But we lose, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a challenge. We lose a little bit of the, you know, I guess some of the fluff. I mean, we got guys that are serious about things, and I think the type of guys that we bring in, they're focused on not only becoming better basketball players, but becoming better people. And I think that bodes well for us because we can sleep at night. We don't have to worry about, you know, kids getting in trouble and getting late night phone calls because we got really good kids and they do what we ask.
That is so true. Vanderbilt student athlete is certainly a special one. Coach, everybody right now, obviously just ready for sports to get back. The NBA has talked, who knows what we can or can't believe in the headlines, but the NBA has talked about coming back. Would you feel comfortable with where we are right now in our society with NBA or basketball as a whole coming back right now from a safety standpoint?
Well, I just think it would have to be, you know, following all of the protocols and making sure that we're doing everything we need to keep everybody safe. I think that's the most important thing for everybody right now. I want to work in a safe environment. I want our kids to play and thrive in a safe environment, and I think that's what we're going to do. We're not going to rush to anything. I think as far as the university and what I'm hearing from our leadership is we're going to take our cues from the local and state officials as well as, you know, listening to the CDC and pretty much whatever plan that they have in place, we're going to kind of follow that with probably a week lag, you know, just to kind of make sure things are progressing the way they should from a state and local standpoint. And then if that's the case, then we'll kind of follow suit. So we've been on a lot of Zoom calls with Candace and our head coaches as well. So they're feeding information back from, had our head coaches meeting, you know, with the SEC and Greg Sankey, and, you know, they're continuing to try to give us as much information as they can. But the reality of it is we're still, there's a lot of unknown. We're hoping to get back in the fall. We know that, you know, SEC football is, you know, really huge in this area. And in the big scheme of things, March Madness, I think not having March Madness again would be devastating in a lot of areas. I mean, I think a lot of programs, a lot of universities would be in a tough place if we're not able to have March Madness again. So I think we hopefully we progress and be able to stay on schedule and get there.
Yeah, Yes, I hope so. Jerry Stackhouse with us, head coach Vanderbilt basketball. In the meantime, everybody is all in on The Last Dance, the Jordan documentary. Have you watched it? And how accurate is it in depicting and showing life in the NBA?
Well, I think everybody's watching it. I'm a fan that, like everybody else, has been entertaining with the lack of sports that we have right now, being able to look back at some of those moments. I mean, it's like deja vu, looking back at trying to think about where I was at this time when this was happening. You know, when they were winning the championship, I was just in college, about to embark on my own professional career. So it was, you know, just, I think, probably one of my favorite, you know, scenes from the episodes were with the Dream Team, and just seeing him and Magic, two big time competitors, two of the greats in the game, you know, jawing and going at it. You know, I could watch that over and over again, but I just think it shows the dedication and what it takes to be able to achieve greatness. And I think, you know, some people will look at, you know, some of the tactics and depending on, it's amazing perception. Like, everybody's like, yeah, that's what it takes to win, you know, and all those things. And then if there's someone that you don't like, then they'll be like, oh, that's a negative way to be a teammate. He's a horrible teammate. So it's just funny watching different opinions. If you're a fan of Michael Jordan, you love everything about it. And if you're a big fan of LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, you're probably like, oh, he's acting like a tyrant. You don't have to win that way. So it's interesting to see all the different opinions, but it's fun during this time.
Well, for those that don't know, you played with MJ in Washington during his last season, and I read where you had a reverence for Michael prior to that experience, but you lost some of that season. We've clearly seen in The Last Dance that as great of a player as he was, he wasn't the easiest of teammates necessarily. I'm curious, why was that experience challenging for you?
Well, no, again, I think it was more so just his approach more to the younger guys at that time. I think they bore the brunt of a lot of the things that you saw over the course of the documentary. You know, I didn't receive a whole lot of that, you know what I'm saying? But that's just where I was in my career at that time. And I don't think either one of us really enjoyed our time in Washington. But it was just difficult, man, when you're playing with the greatest of all time and you have such reverence and respect from him from afar, and then just, you know, being there on a day-to-day basis and just witness some of the things again that we saw in the documentary. And again, it's a part of who he is, it's part of being an actor and part of being his greatness. But it was just at that point in my career, and I think I probably got a little bit you know, it came out wrong because I said I felt like I was a better player than Michael Jordan at that time. And I know that probably sounds crazy. Anybody standing there, better player. I just felt like I was better suited to carry the team at that point, being a 29-year-old in the prime of my career as opposed to Michael Jordan playing in his last year. But I stand by what I said, what I felt, because it was perspective from my eyes, and nobody can change what my perspective is from what I saw and what I felt in that situation. But it doesn't lose any respect that I have for him as being the greatest player of all time. Just was an episode during the course of my career that I could have done without.
No, I think you're 100% right. I mean, the numbers back it up too. I mean, you're the only teammate of Michael Jordan's that averaged more points in a season than he did. So I was intrigued by that, and it made me think about it. And it's something that we've talked a lot about, because I think as a coach, you know, clearly there are different ways to lead, right? Not everybody can be that type of leader. So I'm curious how coaches are handling players watching this thing and maybe trying to change who they are.
Well, no, I mean, I think for us, it's about being selfless and sharing. I mean, you want your players to take ownership of the team, and you know, it's our job to hold them accountable. But at the same time, you want your teammates to hold each other accountable as well. So, you know, I understand there's a happy medium with it. I mean, I got into some tussles with some teammates because I didn't think that they were aligned with what they should be as a team. I mean, that's the burden that you bear. But you can bruise people that way, and it can have a lasting effect. I mean, I was the type that, okay, we have a dust up. I was ready to time, we still had to live together and eat together. But not everybody can erase that as fast as some people can. So you just have to be careful and know who you can have that dynamic with and who you can't. So, I mean, and that's what I see with this kind of Generation Z and you know, having to understand their, I mean, they have so much information and so much thing. They know so much more at this age than we knew at that time. So I think you just have to be able to not so much handle them with kids' gloves, but handle them a little bit different than we had in the past.
Vanderbilt basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. Coach, always good to talk with you, man. Appreciate the candid answers, and we can't wait to see you guys back out on the floor.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys. Go Doors.
There you go. Jerry Stackhouse. Thanks, Coach. Jerry Stackhouse on Twitter. Very fair and reasoned answer to that question about that last year in Washington. Yep.
On how different it is now. Yeah.
JT has a sports update coming up in 2 minutes. Also, Darlington, real life racing coming up this weekend. Woody Kane joins us from MRN in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned.
Worried about